Hey, Al.
Hello.
Shavua Tov.
Been a little while.
Has been a little bit.
Yeah. What better way to anticipate an Iranian attack than hang out and record a podcast?
Yeah, you were debating should we sleep in our bomb shelter tonight
Yeah.
or our bedroom?
Which is right next door to the bomb shelter. So not too far. And our bedrooms are in the basement anyway. So slightly more protected than other areas in Tel Aviv. But
So we're great.
I don't know if we're great, but we're here. And that's what matters.
We're processing.
And we're processing. Yep.
Yeah.
What parsha was it this week?
It was Parsha Tazria. What Parsha is it next week?
The Torah. Nailed it.
And it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan this week.
Chodesh Tov, everybody.
Beautiful new month of Nisan.
Yeah.
Does Nisan mean anything to you?
I mean, it's a time of revealed miracles, so hoping to see that come through in the next 48 hours. They canceled Gans and schools, like really, and gatherings, basically. So we're very lucky that Kevin's sister Lindsay was with us for Shabbat, and she has just been super helpful, and she's so willing and excited to help out with Eden.
Is that a revealed miracle?
To me, it is. Oh yeah. You know, it's just crazy. I feel like this is our initiation to being Israelis.
This is the initiation.
Yeah. We haven't had sirens. Like, I've never experienced a siren before.
But it's like, I don't know, almost a strange thing to say that part of being Israeli is hearing a siren or going to a safe room. Like, that is the initiate. Like, I don't know if you say, like, being initiated to America, it's like going to a baseball game or
Is it?
I don't know. It just. Maybe it's like the hard things that you associate with, like, oh, now you're really initiated.
Totally, totally and completely. It's interesting. So we actually hosted an APAC delegation for Shabbat dinner last night. It's a really nice group of people, super interesting backgrounds and very accomplished. And we went around the table and our kind of like icebreaker discussion question is like, what is home to you? What makes you feel at home? And so someone said, like sirens.
That's true.
And I was like, you have no idea what you're saying to Israelis. Like, this is not like, I didn't even, I, like, it took me a minute. I'm like, oh, of course, he's just talking about like ambulances and cops. And because he's from, he was saying he was from New York and like, it's just
And he was
super
also,
loud.
he was a firefighter,
And he's
no?
a firefighter. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So he's like, okay, sirens make me feel at home. So maybe in some weird way, he was relaying a message.
Yeah. I was saying that sirens, like, are a time for prayer, that Rabbi Joseph Telushkin talks about. Like, one time he was speaking and he heard a siren go off, like, just like a really loud blaring ambulance siren or something. And he was like annoyed, like, oh, it's so loud, it's disrupting the speech that I'm giving. And then he's like, no, this is a moment of prayer to be like, I hope whatever that ambulance or fire truck or police officer is trying to get to, they're able to get there safely.
Yeah, it's a nice way to think about it. When you said that last night, it made me think of the first time I ever gave a class at Hunter College. So I went to Hunter College and I was very involved in the Hillel. And I started a lunch and learn and I got a great turnout. There were like 35 people packed into the Hillel where like max capacity is 30 in this room in the club's wing of the school. And I was so excited to teach and everyone kind of files in and gets their lunch and it's a great vibe and I'm like, wow, look at all these yidden coming to learn, like this is amazing. And then I'm about to start my class and then all of a sudden there's a jackhammer going into the wall right next to us. They were doing construction and like right as I was starting to teach my class I was like, oh no. And I needed to like fight this jackhammer. Like I was like, do I just give up? Like this is not so feasible. So I spoke for 2 minutes and then I dismissed everybody.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't. Someone ran out to go speak to them, but they said that they wouldn't stop. That was their time to work.
If you have a building permit in New York City, and got to take advantage of it.
It's like, when I think about that moment, I get a headache just thinking about how loud the jackhammering was. It was like, there's definitely a lesson in that of like, you try so hard, it all looks like it's working out perfectly or even better than you expected, and then jackhammer. Can't hear a word. But maybe it's not about the Torah there. It was just about bringing everybody together and seeing the potential.
Or the preparation for the class. The
preparation.
That you were able to get.
Yeah.
There's something to, like, the preparation being worthwhile. Like, we just went out to go buy some supplies or, like, a flashlight and some,
tuna.
Canned food and other non-perishables that are.
So, yeah, kidney oat snacks, because I don't want to sell. I just want to be able to have it in the space in case we need it.
Right. So, just sometimes being prepared or feeling prepared. That's also work. There's also something to that that's worthwhile.
Definitely. Well, especially now. Certainly worthwhile. I wouldn't be able to fall asleep if you were stocked up in some capacity.
Really?
I think so. I mean, you also took a very big nap today, so maybe you would feel differently.
Do you feel calmer? Do you feel uneasy? How are you feeling as reports have been issued that there are potentially dozens of Iranian drones that have been launched?
I feel like I don't even know what that means, you know? So, definitely feeling uneasy, for sure. I feel like this is what I signed up for. Like, I knew it. So, I don't know what it actually means or what it's going to look like, but not naive. But we'll see. I think also over time, people get desensitized to things. So, this is the start of my desensitization process.
You're not desensitized yet, but you anticipate yourself becoming desensitized.
Yeah. The closest thing to sirens was the jackhammering, so it's not quite made it in yet.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. I don't know. I'm a believer somewhat in techshov tov tiyetov, like think good and it'll be good. Maybe that's also naive. And it's also somewhat out of my hands. Like, we did our preparation, we did our work, and now we're here. There's the idea of Nisan being related to the word Nisayon. And Nisayon both means a test or a challenge, but also means experience, like Nisayon. And that kind of, there's something related there between being tested, going through these moments, and then, as you're saying, having experience to be able to be calm or to process in a more stable way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully it's, I don't know. But it's also related to Nisim, like miracles, like you were saying, Nisan,
mm-hmm.
Nis, Nisim. Yeah. I mean, whenever Israel's been challenged, like the Jewish people, we've weathered a lot of storms and taken a lot of punches and prevailed.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Today, we went to a friend's house for lunch. Friends called, literally their last name is Friend. So cool. They're great friends named Friend. So we went to the friends and they were talking a little bit about like the woman's role in Israel and in society and how they're like women in Israel sometimes carry like a more masculine energy or like take on more of like a masculine role, or they're not embracing their femininity. They're a little bit like harsher around the edges, you know? And I said, it's like part of it is because at least if you think about the progress that was made between gender roles and in the States, that was catalyzed by World War II because the men went out to fight, women stepped up. And so how many times have women had to really step up in Israel? Like, we've had so many of these, like, existential moments of, like, fighting and needing to make sure that there's all hands on deck.
Yeah. thinking of real Eshet Chayil, like a wife of, like literally means a woman of valor. Yeah. But it's also Eshet, like wife of Chayal, of a soldier. And a lot of these wives of soldiers or partners of soldiers, like carrying a lot of super women around.
It's funny because we sang with this AIPAC delegation. It was with a group of African Americans, Christian, like big leaders in their communities and business people and Chashuv people. Sorry. Are we going to edit that out?
No. Keep it raw.
Keeping it raw. Choking on spit. Love it. And Kevin was like, yes. And if you look in your books and your ventures, on page 6, you could follow along, Eshet Chayil. And I'm just like looking at the English and it says, who can find a good wife? And I'm like, that's not a good translation. Like, art scroll, you got to step this up.
Yeah. But it's not easy to find such quality women. But
a good wife, who can find her? I'm like, I wonder how this is landing for them.
I said it was...
It's strange that we're singing this before we eat a meal.
Totally.
The food's good. I found the good wife. The food's not good. I didn't find the good wife.
Yeah. I didn't grow up singing Eshet Chayil, but you did. And I'm very grateful to take on that tradition.
You better be. I need to be serenaded.
You still like it?
Yeah, I love it.
It's a highlight for you? Is that something that makes you feel at home hearing Eshet Chayil?
I haven't thought about it that way, but... sure. So let's go with that.
Okay. Any other reflections on being in Israel over the past 2 weeks? Nisan, prepping for Pesach, getting ready for, I don't know, in-laws and parents coming?
I mean, I feel like that's a funny question. Because in my head, I'm like, totally makes sense if like nobody gets on a plane right now, you know?
I guess that's something that's like in the background.
Totally.
Of like, will people make it here? Will, historically also, things have happened on Jewish holidays. Totally. On Yom Kippur, on Simchat Torah, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising was on over Pesach. Like, it's not an accident that, both from our enemies and also just from the sense of the spiritual energy that's in the air, that like in this month of Nisan, we sometimes can be tested. Or prank. I think that's like kind of what we can do.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about? Throwing the question back at you.
I don't know, there's something that, like, I've just been thinking about with, like, the plagues and that experience of, like, it's almost implied that during the plague of darkness, people had to shelter in their homes or especially, like, the Makat Bechorot, the plague of the firstborn, when people had to put blood on the doorpost as a sign, and then God passed over, the angels passed over, and praying that, like, any negative things pass over us. Or there was a funny comedian who was talking about how a week and a half ago, the GPSs were jammed. Did you have that?
Yeah, I did, because I wanted to see, I walked a lot that day, and I was like, oh, let's check my progress, and it's like, you walked to Beirut. And I'm like, no, I didn't. No, I did not. I know, so, I walked far, but not that far.
So Israel has done this series of GPS jammings where none of the GPS systems will be working. And the, I guess, hypothesis...
Intentionally
is that if there was a GPS-guided missile, that it would not be able to hit its target, or it would be redirected towards Lebanon. Rather than being directed towards Israel. But then they were also saying, this community was saying, like, oh, if there's a, you know, we're taking over the GPS and it's about to hit the Azrieli Towers, and that there's a, oh, should we direct it to the triangle building, the circle building, the square building? They have this like group of three buildings that are all three different shapes. And he's like, oh, we're gonna send it to Beirut, it has to land somewhere, I don't know, it's trying to get it into the water, like, yeah, this whole this skit about it. But I don't know, something just like feels biblical or about the ideas of things flying overhead, about like sheltering in place, about being in the month of Nisan, about Pesach coming up, about this time in Jewish history. I don't know, it feels like there's a sense where you hear the stories of history and you're like, oh, history's over. History is something in the past. But
Is there that sense? I feel like that means that we didn't learn our lesson, if you think that way.
at least growing up, you're
I also
like,
tend to catastrophize everything, though, and that's something I.
right. But growing up, it's like, oh, the founding of the State of Israel, the 1967, Yom Kippur, or like 6 Day War, Yom Kippur, like these feel like the past, like momentous things have happened. But being in this reality, like, no, momentous things are happening, and like history is still unraveling, and the story of the Jewish people is continuing to unfold. And how could we be a part of it? How could we participate?
So we're participating from a bomb shelter.
Yeah.
But we're lucky enough to have that protection.
Yes.
Texting someone who is like, I don't even have a bomb shelter in my apartment. We're going to have to run downstairs to the basement, you know? Obviously, I offer that they can stay here, but we'll see.
Yeah. But Friday was also a nice day, even though there was like everything like this in the background, and Shabbat also. People have been thinking about it, but I had this beautiful group here. We hung out with the friends. We went on a nice walking tour of Yafo, and like, people are anxious, but people are happy. There's a beautiful kids tefillah, like on Friday. There's an early Shabbat minyan that a lot of the parents with younger kids go to, and all the kids like sit on the bima, like on the area where usually the Torah is, and they're just like screaming, like it's like a slower and more singing prior service. Oh, we got up to Lechadoli. They're like,
It
Lechadoli.
exploded. The room exploded.
Everyone was getting hyped. Everyone was just like dancing with the
It was
kiddies,
so cute.
jumping around, and they do like a little kid's kiddush. And
This is how you make kids love davening in shul. Like, I then like asks to go to shul.
it's like, Shul, a Davin, a Torah, Torah.
She loves it.
She loves it. And,
I do not remember feeling that way when I was younger. I mean, you always had like the candy man in shul. Like, that was it.
but you don't also remember when you were 2 years old.
No, but there are also 5-year-olds that can't wait to go to shul that we see
That's true.
the same tefillah. And you remember when you're 5.
That's true. But
Eden's gonna remember this, let's be real. I believe in her.
there's something protective that I feel about, like the joy and the hope and the optimism and the sense of building that exists here. There was the World Happiness Report that was released not that long ago. I think Israel came in fifth or
Yeah.
something. But in terms of under 30, I believe, I think Israel came in second
Wow, who's above us?
in world happiness. I don't know, I think it's one of the Nordic
Don't you
countries.
write? Oh, of course.
But there's something so.
And this is a country where the army is compulsory.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, but it's like the only, so to speak, westernized country that has a positive birth rate above replacement level, above 2.2 kids per family or whatever. And I don't know, despite everything, I feel optimistic. And I think the country in general, like, has this belief, has this chutzpah, and has this self-confidence that going to continue to build, and better days are going to come, and it's going to pass over us, hopefully physically, spiritually. And
Hopefully it doesn't even pass over. Hopefully it just stalls in Iraq.
temporally. this time will pass, like Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, the eternity of the Jewish people. I hope God protects all of us.
Chayalim, the Chatufim.
Yeah.
The families of the Chatufim.
Yeah, the soldiers, those who have been kidnapped, and should see revealed miracles.
Amen.